We have one dog, two cats, and two turtles. It's a zoo around here. Hey, welcome to Toward Creativity, a podcast by Benjamin Harding. That's me. You can find me on Instagram at bhardingmusic and on my website, benjaminharding.net. Toward Creativity is to serve as a guide in conversations centered around tips, tools, and strategies towards helping you to build a sustainable creative career. Let's get into today's episode. We love animals at Harding Hall. We love animals. We've got a lot of them. And currently, I am outdoors in our backyard, and these animals, hopefully, are sleeping. I've had to feed some of them before coming outside because they've been begging to be fed. But I'm outside, and here we are in beautiful Pennsylvania. Some of you have commented that you really enjoyed the last episode, hearing the bird sounds in the background. And so I bring you the bird sounds yet again, and you might hear some native Pennsylvanian birds. You might hear some native Pennsylvanian construction in the background because they're doing some work just down the street. But I bring you this episode from my backyard in nature yet again. And today we're going to talk about a question that I get asked a lot. What makes something great in art or in music? What makes something great? And I am going to give you my process that I go through and help my students to go through as it relates to categorizing what makes something great. And there's a process that I came up with. You might find it totally weird and totally ineffective. Feel free to leave those harsh criticisms in the comments section. I welcome all comments, concerns, and harsh criticisms for this podcast. Feel free to leave those nasty comments. It helps me to refine the podcast as we go along. But this process came to me during my favorite holiday of the year, and that is Thanksgiving in the United States. I get up in the morning. I watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. It is so fun to watch. And after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, there is a wonderful broadcast of the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. It is a pre-recorded event that happens actually in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I am currently. And it's a fantastic, fantastic show. I highly recommend the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. I sit down, and during one of the broadcasts of this wonderful show, I came up with this method of determining what is great in music, in art, etc. And it's a process. It's a process that hasn't been completely refined, and I'm not going to get into the deep philosophy of aesthetics today. Not going to do that. I'm just going to give you something that's simple and something that has helped me and has helped some of my students. It might not be helpful to you. I'm not sure. But if you want to leave me those comments in our Facebook group or on the comments in the subscriptions on Apple, on Spotify, what have you, feel free to ask those questions, or you can message me on B Harding Music on Instagram. Okay, or on my website at benjaminharding.net. So I turn on this show, and it's the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. And the first group is the first judging group is, let's say, they go through a herding group, okay? And you might see an Australian cattle dog, an Australian shepherd, a bearded collie, a Belgian Lake-noi. Wow, that is an impressive dog. I'm looking at these dogs on the WestminsterKennelClub.org website. Ooh, the Bouvier de Flandre. This is fantastic. There are a lot of dogs within the herding group, and these dogs get judged up against one another. They're different breeds, but they're categorized in the particular group. Let me stop there and do a little bit of a parallel comparison. Let me do this, okay? Let's say you're looking at bluegrass music and you're comparing it with the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Folks, that is an inappropriate comparison. It's an inappropriate comparison. Bluegrass music, there's so much bluegrass music in this world, in this continent that I'm coming from to you today. There's so much bluegrass music that needs to be categorized and evaluated up against other kinds of bluegrass music before you even begin to compare it to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Some people will say, well, who is better? Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, or Ludwig van Beethoven? Well, again, I think that is an unfair comparison because they're coming at you from different kinds of groupings. And before you compare and contrast Beethoven and Bach and who is better, you have to begin to compare them within their particular categories of music. Okay, so in 2011, Anthony Tomasini of the New York Times produced this fantastic, because it brought a lot of attention to the music section of the New York Times, which doesn't always get a lot of attention. I'm just saying, it's how many of you have gone to the music section of the New York Times lately and looked at what they're talking about? Anywho, there was such an uproar about this particular article that Anthony Tomasini put together in 2011, listing his top 10 composers. It was wild in the classical music industry. Anyway, it was wild because he was saying this composer outranks this composer, and people were leaving lots of comments, concerns, and harsh criticisms as the article was being produced, because he was asking for feedback and in building this article. It was fabulous, and I'll leave a link to the article in the show notes. But it got me thinking about sports. I love sports. Sports are great. And I call into Sports Talk Radio in Philadelphia and I let them have it in regards to the current situation of sports teams in Philadelphia. It's not going so well for us right now. It's a very painful time. There are many teams that are struggling right now. But anywho, sports, we always do this, right? Who are the top 10 NBA basketball players of all time, not including centers? And we go through this list after list after list. By the way, it's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is number one. I watched The Last Dance. It's totally a lock in my judgment. Michael Jordan is number one, and then LeBron. I think LeBron's number two. I digress. I digress. Anyway, in sports, it's really easy for us to make top 10 lists because we've got numbers in front of us, and we've got categories in front of us, and we've got eras in front of us. For art and for music, it's a little bit harder because we don't have this quantitative analysis of what makes something absolutely great. And so we have to dive into each category and explore what makes a particular composer, what makes a particular kind of piece, what makes a particular kind of artwork great within certain parameters that it's being called to assess by. That was a complicated sentence, but you get the idea. There are categories that composers and their music need to be evaluated first. So let me get back to the dog show. You've got herd and group up against, let's say, I'm going to the categories again so I don't make a mistake. We've got the herding group up against the sporting group. And in the sporting group, we've got American Water Spaniel, the Barbette, the Boinkin Spaniel, the Brittany. I've seen the Brittany in the show. But I go on and on. Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Love that dog. Love that dog. Anyhow, we had a Chesapeake Bay Retriever growing up. My dad had lots of labs, and one time he got a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, and he was a fabulous dog. Really stubborn, and they really need to be trained well. I digress yet again. When we're talking about sporting and herding groups, those are different kinds of dogs. However, within the sporting group, you've got to compare a Chesapeake Bay Retriever with a lab. That's a good comparison. But before you even get to that level, you need to compare a Chesapeake Bay Retriever with another Chesapeake Bay Retriever in order to find who's best in show in that category. And then you can bring the lab, the best lab, together with the Chesapeake Bay Retriever and make some kind of judgment as to what's best. What's best? And then in the Westminster Club dog show, you take the best out of the sporting group and the best out of the herding group, and you compare them with all of the other groups that you've gone through this process with, and you declare best in show. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? Music. Let's just talk about music. Music is so diverse. When I went to the Musical Instrument Museum in Scottsdale, Arizona, check it out. You've got to check it out. I'll leave a link in the show notes. It's just coming to mind right now, but I was absolutely blown away by the diversity in music all around the world. 25,000 musical instruments are housed at this museum. I became very emotional when I walked in to this museum because I just saw the diversity of human expression around the world, and it is glorious. I saw a bell made in the shape of a dragon that was made in China during the time of King David of Israel. Incredible, right? Incredible. And I'm looking at this beautiful bell and just seeing this creative expression from an ancient time, from all the way on the other side of the world. And I am just so moved by this museum. You've got to check it out. You can check it out online. it's just a fabulous museum. But just all this to say that 25,000 musical instruments, wow, there are at least as many, or if not more, genres of music that are expressed all around the world that need to be explored, that need to be categorized, let's say, if we're to get to a place where we can say, oh, this is great. It brings us back to this essential quality for a creative, and that is curiosity and a beginner's mind. To look at this world in absolute awe and wonder. Absolute awe and wonder. And to have an open mind of exploration around the world. There is so much to discover. So much to discover. But in this discovery, let's not jettison what fellow human beings have already deemed as great. For example, let's just talk about the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Take it from me, and this is my opinion, he was probably the smartest mind that has ever walked the face of the earth. Okay? Incredible musician, incredible music. Now, it might not be your thing. You might listen to Johann Sebastian Bach and go, oh man, I don't get it. Why? And all I want to say with that is, yes, you might not get it. And hey, when I was a teenager, I didn't get it either until I began to explore this music and understand it in light of other kinds of music and put it into categories and explore and continue to learn about what music is and what it can do for us as human beings. I began to see how great this composer is and his music, how great his music is. And so I just want to say that we can trust one another, so to speak, in helping us understand what is great. It's almost like a tutorial on, you know, what makes music great is somebody who is learned and who has spent a lot of time thinking about certain kinds of music, like Beethoven, let's say, and says, wow, you know, this guy had it. Yeah, let's trust one another as human beings. Let's trust one another and say, okay, thank you, and begin to explore what makes Beethoven great, okay? Or in another category, let's go back to bluegrass, my favorite band, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. I love Doyle Lawson. Listened to him since I was a kid. And my dad loved Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. I also love the music of Ricky Skaggs and Mark O'Connor, who, by the way, don't necessarily see life in the same way and produce different kinds of music. And this is an opportunity for us to explore the differences of opinion, the differences of compositional process, the different kinds of approaches to life that Ricky Skaggs has and Mark O'Connor has. And it's an opportunity for us to explore music in its fullness and with a beginner's mind and a curious mind. So, just to kind of recap, I know this has been kind of maybe a weird episode for you, that I've talked about it's the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. and we've got categories of dogs that face off with one another, and then they're declared best in show, and then, yeah, you get the picture. But what I'm trying to say is that for every piece of work of art that you're looking at, you know, what is the context that this piece of art sits in? And then begin to evaluate that piece of artwork with other pieces of artwork that perhaps are perhaps have been created during the same era and in the same kinds of circumstances and the same kind of geographical location. That's very important. And then begin to evaluate, okay, what makes this particular piece of artwork great? And yes, there are going to be times where you go, oh, I don't particularly like this kind of music, or I don't particularly like this kind of art. And that's okay. We all have sort of taste buds that lean towards a particular kind of creative output that we enjoy over others. But it doesn't give us the right to say, oh, I don't get it, therefore it's horrible. It's horrible. It's not good. You know, let me just give this kind of pet peeve of mine. I know, you know. Anyhow, let me just do this. You know, when somebody comes up and says, you know, hip-hop, that's not music. I go, actually, it is. Actually, it is. And within the genre of hip-hop, we can determine what makes great hip-hop. And out of the genre of hip-hop, we can then begin to compare it with other kinds of genres and make different kinds of assessments. Look, if I were to say to you, Michael Jordan is number one, I can find so many people that will say LeBron is number one. And then I can find another group of people that will come out and say, well, why aren't you including centers? Is therefore, Bill Russell's the best. I think he has 11 championships. Bill Russell's the best. There are lots of ways that people can see what is best and what is great. And let me tell you something. Those kinds of judgments, even though they go through a filter process of categories, there are differences of opinion. And there are subjective things that come into play even when you're talking about what makes something great. It's not an absolute truth. It's not a definitive list that you're going to come up with, even though you go through this sort of categorical exercise in determining what is best. Anyway, I hope that you've tracked along with this sort of thought exercise. Thank you for tuning in to Tawork Creativity. I want to say that we are taking a look at the podcast right now to see if we need to retool it to fit sort of my workflow and my kind of investment in the world of scholarship and the world of artistic scholarship, in particular within the context of a Christian liberal arts tradition. And I'm taking a look at that, okay? I'm not saying that I'm totally going to make a 180 and go in a completely different direction, but I'm looking at the possibility of changing the content per episode to have sort of like a thesis statement per episode, as opposed to having sort of a general thesis to help you build a sustainable creative career. I'm not going to abandon that mission. I'm just going to expand what we're doing here at Tawork Creativity. That might mean a name change of the podcast, etc. Stay tuned. I'll make an announcement probably this week on this podcast channel, and on our Facebook group page, and on my website. But yeah, just to give you a heads up, because I know that a lot of folks have expressed that they would like to hear different kinds of things from me. And I want to serve as many people as possible within my current context of work and current context of creativity. All that to say is thank you so much for tuning in to Toward Creativity, and I'll talk to you soon.